Random Podcast with Raffy and Sandra.
All right. Welcome back after this big break to the Random Podcast. Huzzah!
Yay.
Let's see if any of that works. Yay! We still remember how to do the podcast thing. It has been an unexpectedly long time between episodes. We tried to get some stuff together, but both you and I were traveling. And I think the one time you were free, I was on a flight. And the other time I was free, you weren't. And then the last time, I think it was 4 o'clock in London. So it's never really quite worked out. So we call it a bit of a mid-season break. We'll try and catch up. We do have a few catch episodes already planned. So yeah, we'll get onto it and try to be a bit more regular till the end of the year. We'll try to get to 26 episodes, which means we won't finish as early as we did last year.
It's interesting because I'm like, you know, that whole having a backlog of episodes, not a bad idea, actually. you do lose a little bit of the, I feel like because we don't have a backlog, our episodes are fresh. So, you know, when you hear it,
absolutely,
you know what's going on. This is not content from weeks ago.
This is true. Well, I mean, all our catch-up shows, I think we should try and keep real time. But I think some of the topic ones, because some of the topics have been suggested like a few months ago, like definitely before I was away. So I felt like those ones, you know, my views haven't changed that much in a few short weeks. That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe and we could sprinkle it in to reflect back. It's a feature, not a bug.
Part of it is also that I wish I'd recorded it. Chandra going, oh yeah, Macs are awesome. Batteries never line up, never die. And he had to plug in the battery. Then he couldn't figure out how to plug in the microphone at the same time. And then
mine
the dongle.
I have two ports that I've discovered together with the dongle, two sets of dongle adapters. I have now gotten everything plugged in. But unfortunately, the high quality mic, the battery is dead. So
there you go. We get laughing track too.
I feel like we should go with the wah, 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 wah.
Oh, do I have it on this one? No, I think I've got drum roll. Yeah, I don't have that one on this one. But anyway, soundboards are like all of the stuff we just haven't used in a little while. So not all our soundboards are working.
Not everything. It did feel kind of nice because two friends asked me, oh, I haven't seen any episodes around in lately. And I'm like, oh, somebody's listening.
Yeah, actually, nice. I've had a few of our regular listeners also go, what's going on with the podcast? So, yeah, that is actually nice.
I just figured the Russian bots are too busy these days anyway to listen to our podcasts. But, wow,
there you go.
Listening. It's nice.
If you're listening, perfect time to leave us a review and all that. Not a shameless plug at all. I hate to say it, but Apple Podcast ones do more of an impact than anything else at the moment. Spotify hasn't quite got its ratings thing down pat yet, but especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, could you please give us a review? It helps a lot. And we are actually, this is probably a good time to say that we are getting some pretty cool guests. We've got a CEO of a med tech company coming on very shortly. And we have our favorite magician come, doctors come, TV presenter coming on as well in a couple of months' time. It's probably in a month's time. And we have a very random person that I met through a friend who happens to also have been like the chief technology officer at one stage for another startup. Anyway, we've got a few random guests that are pretty interesting coming on, but we can only get more interesting people on if we can spread the word. So just for our own sakes and our ability to get people on and also to be find some interesting people for you. Leave us a review.
The moral of the story is if you have an Android phone, sell it, buy an Apple iPhone and leave us a review on the App Store, please.
And remember to buy lots of dongles. All right.
Raffy, how are you? What have you been up to?
I was actually having a quick listen to our live podcast to figure out what the hell has been going on since then. So I think last time I had gone on my trial flight, and you had been like whale shark surfing or something like that back in the in the times before.
Surf on the whale sharks, you know, they get upset about that sort of thing.
Sure, you could try. Well, since then, it's been, it feels like a long time ago, not because it's been a long time, but I have actually spent an entire month in Europe. So I got back about 10 days ago, and this is probably the longest set of holidays I've had in 5, if not 10 years. So this is like, what I mean by that
four
is
weeks
like,
continuous?
Yeah, continuous. Like I've had in a year more time off, but in terms of a continuous actual block, this is the longest in a very long time. I think our trip to Antarctica is probably the closest, and there was one I was there for like 3.5 weeks, but 4 continuous weeks, hasn't happened for a very long time. And the one longer than that was when I, like, remember final year medical school where we had like those 6 weeks rotations. So Nepal was 6 or 7 weeks and Malaysia was 6 weeks, but that was like actually a bit more hands-on. I kind of slacked off a lot in Nepal. Literally like halfway through, I was just like, wow, I should do this more often. When was the last time? And I just could not remember. Not in the last 5 years, not since I started as a specialist, and not even in the last little, like even during when I was living in your apartment in Perth, after you moved out with all your boxes that were still in that spare room. So it's actually been really good, which, like, you know, you kind of go on holidays and that's kind of what you expect. But what I didn't realize about this set of holidays was, it's been a long while with COVID and everything else going on. But one of the weirdest things was I was jet lagged. I was there on the first few days and I couldn't sleep in. Like I would literally wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock and you go, okay, jet lag, whatever, right? Then I couldn't go back to sleep. It was like I was in work mode still. And so I found that by the end of the first week, I could get up and go, hey, you know, there's nothing for me to do. I can go back to sleep. Then I'd go back to sleep. And then it was by the end of the second week. So nearly the third week before I could go to bed, sleep for 8 hours and get up without an alarm and everything. So it was kind of like, you know how when you're tired, you don't realize how tired you are until you've had a break. So I was like, I didn't feel particularly more stressed than normal, but I don't think I realized how wound up I was, because the difference now coming back is like night and day. So that was one of the weirder things about it.
I definitely noticed it's like when you're away from things for a while, you get a different perspective and you're like, oh yeah, that's not normal or good before.
Yeah. So, and what I took away from that is, I mean, in the past I used to take regular short breaks, like 3-4 days here, maybe a week here, and do it more frequently, like every 2-3 months. And then the pandemic happened, that became really hard to do. And then but I think there is something for going away for a while and having not much to do. That being said, my locations kind of meant that was going to be the case. Like I literally flew from here via Dubai for a couple of hours to the UK, to Iceland, to Greenland. So, and at the time before daylight savings and whatnot, it was literally 12 hours different, AKA it was the literal other side of the planet. You could not get more other side from Melbourne than Greenland.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
A little bit far away.
Okay. So, you know, roaming wasn't like, I didn't really enable roaming this time around just because I was like, I don't really want to answer phone calls and whatnot, but I had to turn on the mobile connection just for like getting, you know, those SMS two-factor authentication things. Yeah. So literally, like this is in Greenland, right? Stack of missed call messages come through, right? And like, you know, I was like, oh, whatever, they're gonna have to deal with it, right? And then a couple of days later, I had to like log in to transfer something or other. And one surgeon, 12 calls. And I was like, what the hell, dude? Like, clearly I'm either ignoring you, which I wasn't, it's just my phone's turned off, right? And he's like, call me, da, da, da. Like, I don't have roaming on, I'm not calling him back, I'm not at work, you know? And, but I kind of realized that that's kind of the normal. Like, if you turn off the phone, Because normally I'd text and say whatever, but I was just like, no wonder I was so wound up.
It's definitely something that I've changed as well quite a bit this year, especially. Basically, nowadays I'm trying to run my phone pretty much on do not disturb mode, so no phone calls come in, especially straight after work. I guess one of the luxuries I've got is, you know, that it's, I don't have a lot of after hours on call. Very luxurious. And literally the only notifications I get is calendar events. So if I have something pre-scheduled, that's fine. But generally speaking, because my life kind of tends to run on a calendar at the moment anyway, it means that I don't get any distractions. And sometimes it causes problems, like yesterday when I didn't have anything, we didn't have a rand int on the schedule. But
we talked about it. You didn't put it on the calendar.
I know, we talked about it. Talking about it is not on my calendar. We need to talk.
Well, I don't have your calendar.
It's a problem.
I'll have to message Sam.
Exactly. If it's not on the calendar via Sam, it didn't happen. But I have to say, like, it's actually made a big difference because otherwise what I find is often I'll get distracted by some random messages and then I'll pick up the phone and then I'll muck around and do silly things. Whereas by having that do not disturb as the default setting, essentially, so much freer, so much less distracted by the phone. Occasionally you'll miss something, but I found by and large, it's very rare that anything bad happens. It's so rare. Because initially I remember being quite worried about, what if I miss an important call from something or another, etc. Turns out it doesn't really happen like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also kind of like, there's obviously, you know, you put yourself at risk of true emergencies, but it's also kind of stage of life dependent. Like, I don't know, if your parents were much more elderly, you probably couldn't, or at least you'd need some sort of bypass system, like say they had an emergency. But if you're going to be in Bunbury, there's not much you can do anyway, right? Like,
I was like, well, even if there is an emergency, I mean, it's going to take a while to get there.
It's kind of like a
bit of a, but, you know.
Yeah, it's like a responsibility thing, but it's also like, I don't think you can always do it. And I can't do it because my response time for, like, even if I have finished my list and come home, if there's a problem, it still comes through me. So I can't put it on do not disturb, although mine's predominantly on silent.
An interesting one, but because I used to always like knock people who have work phones. My mum has one. I'm like, why? But now I'm like, you're not that bad because you can turn it off and turn it on and nobody else has a number. I'm like, okay, maybe there's something to it.
Well, actually, one of the things I was looking at just before I left was getting a secondary, like a virtual number that redirects to the same. Like, I don't really want
two phones. I saw that on your newsletter, which we should leave a link to below.
That's something eSIM different.
Virtual eSIM seems like a great idea.
So the eSIM is different, actually. The eSIM was one of the random things I found whilst I was in Greenland, because, again, I didn't have roaming, but I also didn't want to get lost in Greenland. It seemed like a bad life decision. I was meant to have friends come from, like, the people that Jared from Antarctica, he was meant to come, but basically last minute, because he's working for a startup at the moment and they just went into crunch time and he couldn't make it out, like the dates didn't work. And Shaz, the other guy, was he missed my message because he was in a game park in South Africa, like chasing wild animals. So like, all right, fair enough. Like, what do you do? Right. Like, our times just didn't match up. So I was going to like, all right, well, I've already booked. I'm going to go. So I rocked up, and for the entirety of time, because they kept on going, what are the dates? What are the dates are coming? And then like, I gave them the dates and like, damn it. It's like literally the weeks for both of them that didn't match up. So I'm like, well, I'm still going to go do stuff. But then I'm like, well, when I say I'm going to go do stuff, it involves going up that steep hill onto literally the beginning of glaciers. And at one point, I was on this hike, right? Slightly drizzling, and it's beautiful. there's like this boardwalk, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. It's like flat. It's not that challenging. Like, you know, this town is tiny. There's a town called Ilulissat, where the Greenlandic people go to holiday. Like I had a room in a hotel, and I opened the window, and outside the window is icebergs. Like I was sitting on a balcony with icebergs floating by. It was kind of like Antarctica, but we're in a town. Like I could also, yeah, like I could walk, like I'm looking at, say, the iceberg. I could walk up to essentially the grocery store equivalent and buy some bread and walk back. Like, you know, like Antarctica, you kind of go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially when you compare that to the last time you saw icebergs.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Antarctica was kind of like, you're on a ship. You're kind of going into the wilderness. This is like, this is a town in the wilderness. Like, I can go buy a drone if I want. There was an electronics store. And you kind of go, that's, it just brain wasn't computing, you know? Like, there shouldn't be restaurants. Because the last time I saw this, it was literally nothing else around. But, yeah, so anyway, I went on this hike. And I thought it was going to be flat, you know, da-da-da-da. But at one point, it starts going onto some rocks, and you're like, okay, the rain gets slightly heavier. And I'm like, oh, do I turn back? I'm like, no, it's got to be fine. It's marked and all that. By marked, I mean there's literally green circles on rocks. Like, blue circles mean you're on a blue trail, red circle, and you just basically have to find the rock. And that's, about like, roughly
red circles mean you're, like, about to die.
No, that's just the red trail. there is an actual ancient burial ground on that trail.
So I'm good.
Then it started pelting for, and this is kind of, you know, wild weathers, right? Like there's a reason things are called the polar vortex. Those are the polar vortices. And you get over this crest, and it is the entire horizon is where the glacier comes off and carves onto icebergs. And that's the beginning of the icebergs floating out to sea, right? So you've got this sea of icebergs in front of you, and like literally to the horizon, right? Wow. And behind you is like the landmass sort of thing, and you're standing on the edge. You can't obviously walk onto them because like, you do not know which ones are solid and which ones are not. Like this is when you need proper climbing gear. So I was like, oh, I want to walk along the edge. This would be so cool. Da da da. Starts to get rain a bit heavier, right? And I'm just trying to take photos. Nearly slip. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I keep going, right?
Yeah.
Nearly slip again. So in the space of 3 minutes, nearly slip 3 times, and then I'm like, if I fall, I either fall into icebergs. Or I fall onto steep rocks, and I looked around, and then I remember thinking back going, I have only seen 6 people. It's been 4 hours. No one's going to find me.
You'll be well preserved because I hear the weather is cold.
Yeah, so because of that, I was like, yeah, so roaming, bad, but data sim, probably good. So I can still like WhatsApp message, like, you know,
no, I'm on some rocks.
well, I had GPS coordinate and I could SOS, right? Like, and it was actually really good service. And I'll link it below. It's a company called Air Allo that I got like affiliate links for because I was just like, they were just so good. Because initially,
love it.
Well, no, because I actually genuinely emailed them about a problem because it just wasn't working. And within an hour, like, I think they're Singaporean based, and I was in Greenland, you know. Within an hour, they gave me the steps to solve it because I'd never used eSIMS before. And I was like, damn. And then I looked through like all the other kind of ones. This was like the first one I found. And I was like, oh, I should actually look into this. Pretty cheap comparatively. And Greenland is kind of like this outlier because it's not included in any of the world SIMS or Europe SIMS or whatever, just because it's Greenland, right? But then I got like a month-long Europe SIM for like $50 or something, and it was 20 or 30 gigs, and it was like 4 or 5G speeds everywhere, like UK, Paris, Belgium. And it was great. It was just the right amount of connectivity to get maps and the occasional Instagram-y sort of stuff if you're on a long train ride, but no phone calls, no messages, like, but you could WhatsApp. So family and friends, okay. Nothing work. So that was like, and like, you could obviously see work emails, but it was just the perfect level. And I was like, damn, that was like first time using eSIM, big fan, gonna keep the app. And yeah.
Nice. After you've been traveling as well.
All right. So anyway, what have you been up to? That's been a long stint from me.
Yeah. Well, I've been kind of the opposite because my default state is being homeless and traveling. But for the first time, I've actually in one place for 3 months. No, 4 months. Yes.
I'd like to say December. The beginning of the holiday was the beginning of this podcast was where you were still here. You were just about to start planning to leave. That's when we started the podcast, like episode 1 and 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So 1 to 5, you were still here in Melbourne. After that, you left.
So it's been a long time since I've probably been maybe in one place for the longest, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, possibly. But usually an Airbnb or some sort of, you know, accommodation. But completely out of the blue, I just happened to have a look at just short-term rentals. You know, just had a look on Domain for rental accommodation available in Bunbury. And there just happened to be an apartment that was available, and they specifically wanted month-by-month leases because I think they're trying to sell the place. And it's a furnished apartment. I was like, wow, a furnished apartment that's awesome. That is not an Airbnb that is available and that I wanted for one thing. This is perfect for me. So I managed to get this place for 3 months. But it sounds like I've been on the market for a little bit, so hopefully I'll be able to stay till the end of the year.
Nice. But, when does your 3 months officially run out?
Officially runs out at the start of December, but I've still got a couple of more weeks of work here.
Yeah.
But it's very, very strange and different to have a home again. And I was like, oh, yeah, I miss these little things. It's the simple things. It's like, oh, I now have a drawer which has my condiments that I like to eat with or cook with. Like,
yes,
just
sardines.
The little things. Yeah, I've got a place for my sardines. Sardines are fine because they can live in the boot of a Tesla. That's fine. But it's more things like, oh, I've got, like, you know, my mirin, my cooking sake, or, like, whatever. I've got some things. Like, whilst, yes, minimalist life is awesome, there's also something to be said for just having some of your own stuff in one place.
Well, minimalism isn't nothingness, right? Like, as in there's a difference between... Yeah, so it's like, I think you forget how minimalist you are, but also how much you just put into a box that you then you never look at again.
It's magic. You just close the box and it likely doesn't exist.
The bedroom still has your guitar and your luggage, my friend.
Oh, yeah. But it's not here, so it's minimalist. My life is minimalist. And just...
I think it has, like, your empty drone box and, like, your drone kit and your random locks from your lock-picking adventures.
We get back to that sometimes.
So, dear listeners, when you hear minimalist, I don't own anything. He does. He just leaves this crap.
See, what I'm hearing is I'm minimalist, but I just create problems for Rafi.
Every time. I don't know why it's me. I'm sure you do it to Jamie as well, but
yeah, literally Jamie, if you're listening, sorry. But there's I've got a whole
Jamie
bunch
was
of stuff Chandra's Jamie's
other housemate
and yeah, he's got a whole bunch of my stuff in his storage locker too.
Yeah.
Except why I'd like to say it's organized. I put it into a suitcase and kept it there. It's a little bit more organized this time.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I was going to say, like, my holiday kind of ended up becoming, like, this regular thing as well, because when I went, so I kept on flying in and out of Europe, so Europe became, like, a base, and my brother moved there at the end of last year, so basically when I was there, I was just catching up with him, just going, like, he was just showing me around the place, and I was roughly in the same, so King's Cross, it's next to this giant train station, so you can get in and out of the country and take the Eurostar, etc. So I stayed in a hotel and then basically an Airbnb right there. So even though it wasn't the same hotel, because I knew, like, it was one street apart, so I knew where the Sainsbury was to get groceries, and the second place had, like, a kitchenette. Even though it wasn't the same place, it felt like the regular. Like, I knew where the nice cafe was. I knew where I could get a meal. Like, there's like,
yeah,
the best was, and this really felt like one of those moments that I'll remember, and it's so kind of stupid. Was my brother was coming. Like, we were meant to go out for dinner, but none of us, so my wife was there as well by this stage, and none of us were really keen on going out to a restaurant because it'd been like halfway through the holidays. We'd kind of done the restaurant thing. We were kind of like, we just want to sit down, chat, and eat a meal. And, you know, restaurants, fine, but all the ones that are nearby were kind of noisy, and it was just it was too last minute to book. So I just ended up going around the corner, buying some Indian food. And then we just sat around our small Airbnb table and just ate and chatted. And like to date, it felt like, you know, like we'd only been there three, four days, right? But that was our home, and we were having my brother over. It felt like a little organized dinner thing, you know? And for some reason, that just, if I had to pick like this weird random highlight, that would be one of them, you know? And it was just very pleasant and very wholesome, and it just felt right. And I think I've realized that because I haven't done these long trips for a while, I've forgotten what it's like just to, because Nepal was the same. Like, we were in a guest house and we would have these other medical students come by and we just play cards and chat. And it was like the simple things, right? And it's also just, you don't have to then think about having to go out for every meal. Like, you have a place to just sit down and just have something simple. Sometimes you just want cereal and milk, you know?
Well, that's something that I've sort of been thinking about for me for next year as well. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how nice it is to have a place. And my hope is I'll be doing a little bit more traveling next year. It could be a home, right? But whether I'm working or traveling or whatever, I'm sort of more looking at designing it so that I'll be in one spot for a longer period of time. And it is something, I guess, a little bit different over the last 2 years because I've kind of just been moving every 4 weeks or so, which is fine, can do it. But I've really missed that. Oh, okay. Having a place that's been the same for a little bit of time, something nice to it.
So I believe this is called weird is getting old.
Yeah, maybe. But trying to make that a more of a feature. So even when traveling, going to try to, again, I'm not big on sort of a 1 or 2 week holiday, kind of, you know, more of a 3 to 6 month kind of holiday person. but yeah, I'm going to try to design that so that basically there's less moving around during that and just make it a slow travel.
Yeah. No, I'm currently, like, I'm going to be on a conference, but that's also just one hotel for the extended period coming up in November. And we're already planning another Europe trip next year. And this one's going to be 2.5 weeks and it'll just be two places, which I like, both will be at least 1 week. So that'll be kind of long-ish. I just have to finalize the dates and whatnot. So yeah, that's the other weird thing that's happened. And I was telling you this the other day, we were just having a quick catch up. I came back, and this is again to do with the didn't know how burnt out I was. So on the weekends, I do this pediatric ENTs and tonsils and whatnot list, right? And I enjoy it because it's not something that I regularly get to do at work just because of how our caseloads work, etc. And it's something that you need to at least do regularly to keep up your skills and feel comfortable. But it's a Saturday. There's like 10 kids that you have to anesthetize. And one of the things is you need to talk to them, not to the kids themselves, but to the parents, because otherwise everyone's anxious. They have a lot of questions. And you just, there on the weekend, you can spend like half an hour, 40 minutes answering questions, right? And no one wants to be there till really late. It's already a 12-hour day. So I normally have to call them and explain things early. And because it's the end of every other long day, it's never something I look forward to, but it is important and we have to do it. But a few days before that, which is normally where I start dragging my feet going, oh my God, there's so many phone calls to do. And I'm not a phone call person. This time around, like after the first couple, because I was still in the, oh God, I got to do the thing, I actually kind of enjoyed it. And a lot of people on the day kind of were like, thank you so much for explaining it. And I'm sure people have actually said that before, but it's never registered. And like we finished the list, and like it was a beautiful day in Melbourne that day. And I remember writing back going, I actually really enjoyed that. And that's the other thing is like, without like a proper long break, I didn't realize I didn't enjoy work, but there was a difference. And I think I even told you, like when I came back, I was like, I actually was looking forward to it in a weird way. And I was like, yeah, I want to actually get to next month and do it again.
It's an interesting thing because sometimes, you know, see, like, oh, some people have got very light days all the time. And you're like, oh, actually, maybe they're just enjoying their day of work a lot more than, you know, we normally do. So, yeah, I think even at least stepping away from it a bit, when you come back to it, you do appreciate it a bit more.
Yeah.
And certainly for me, after being working at a few other places and then coming back to, yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, I really do like some of the things about working where I am right now.
Yeah, and one of the things was just before I left, I think even in the last podcast, I kind of had a bit of a moment where I'm like, yeah, I can't continue in my current schedule. So coming back, I came back, and then instead of like hitting the ground running like every other time, I've had all these half days to kind of adapt, and it was like the jet lag got me pretty bad this time. And it's just been a pleasant week. It's been a like there's a lot of stuff coming up in the next 24, 48 hours. Like I have to drive like literally to Sydney and back in 2 days, and yeah, but it doesn't feel as overpowering like it normally would. So, yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how long before you feel like back to the grind.
Yeah, yeah. I genuinely thought by 10 days I would have been, but it isn't quite there yet. So maybe this is like a plug for long holidays, people, and specifically long holidays. Because it seems to make more of a difference. And for me, the cutoff seems to be about 3 weeks. Like, I need 3 weeks to get to somewhere. The last week that I was in Europe, like, I don't think it made that much of a difference. I was like, yeah, like, I actually remember going, yeah, I'm ready to go back to work. But, yeah, I'll just chill out. And then the next day, I'm like, yeah, I feel about the same. Whereas, there's, like, this magic point at the 2.5 to 3 week mark. And I was like, oh, there it is. There's something shifted. And I know if I go longer at about the 6 week mark, then I get like super chill zen.
I find about 3 months is the appropriate holiday time.
Maybe people don't have as flexible a schedule as you. But anyway, we should move on to some of my more random questions.
I would highly recommend a month.
Yeah. I would fully back that. Now, a couple of random questions. I'm going to go with the first one. So, have you had any random purchases or anything lately?
I have, and it's actually a little bit related to having my own place. And it's been a coffee machine. So, I do like drinking good coffee, but I don't know much about coffee, etc. But I feel like, all right, well, I want to get up in the morning and do something and have a reason to get up. So I've decided that will be a coffee machine. So did a lot of research, and
so this entire time I've known you, you've been like, the reason for getting up is to go downstairs and get a coffee. So exactly. Why is that not the default?
Well, like, now I'm in a small country town. Come to a small country town, going downstairs for a coffee is not quite so easy. It's a nice place I'm staying at the moment, so I want to enjoy this. I was like, all right, I'm going to actually learn about this whole coffee thing. So I found a machine, which is not like the super duper hardcore one, but you know, it's got you grind
link
your
link will be
roaster.
Below, which China
the link
will
be below to the Breville Express Impress. I would call it mid-range price. It's basically an update to the Breville Barista Express, which is kind of like one of the very popular mid-range kind of coffee machines.
$150 one-ish?
No, it's closer to the $600 mark. So it's kind of like the, all right, well, you don't want to buy the thousands of dollars ones, but you do want something where you can experiment with different aspects of your coffee making. And it's actually been really nice.
What specifically makes it $600 versus the $100 or the $1,000? Like what's the difference?
There's a few core things to making coffee, which is one, you have to grind some coffee beans. So the proper way to do it is you get your dedicated grinding machine, because you need to adjust the different, basically how fine the grind is depends a little bit on the coffee bean itself that you're using. And then you need to run water through it at a set temperature at a specific pressure. And this particular machine happens to run through fairly consistently in terms of the temperature and the pressure. Compared to a lot of the much cheaper ones. Of course, if you go even more expensive ones, then it's even better. But one of the good things about this machine...
Because I know the cheaper ones don't actually
go. So it tends to run... It runs somewhere between the sort of, you know, 9 to 15 bar range.
Okay.
But the biggest thing about the machine is it has a few things which are... So the temperature control, and it's very reliable. And so it's very repeatable. So the good thing is when you're starting out, and if you want to, if you're the kind of person who likes to fiddle and experiment, you want something that every time you make it a specific way, it's going to make the same type of coffee. So that way, if you want to, for example, change the amount of coffee you use, or what temperature you use, or how long you run your shot for, all of these different things, the other variables tend to stay fairly the same. And it's got enough settings that you can fiddle with it. So I would highly recommend this for anybody who wants to get into coffee. That's been really fun, I got to say.
Type in the model number because I've just written down what you've said, but I have no idea if that's correct.
It will be here in the show notes.
Now, we were just chatting before we were recording because in the past, China was like, yeah, it'll be in the show notes. And then that's it. That's the last I hear about it. And then I'm like, the hell was he talking about? Then I had to like Google it and try and figure out. And then I've had people go, oh, Chandra mentioned something. What is it? Can you put it in the show notes? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I'll ask him. We're
fixing problems as we go.
And 30 seconds, like, you know, like after the episode, he will not remember anything about the episode. He's like, no. I don't know.
What were we building? We did a random episode. Who would have thought? What can say? The dementia's just kicking in.
So if you hear me strongly hinting that he should tie into our little notes thing, this is why, so that I can actually link it for you properly.
It has been done. All
right.
But yeah, no, it's been really good. So if you're someone
who impressed.
Basically likes to tweak and twiddle and optimize and experiment, it's a great machine. And there's a YouTube channel by a guy, I think it's James Hoffman, that heaps of different sort of, you know, information about how to make espresso, and way too much information than what you need to make a decent tasting cup of coffee. But if you want to nerd out and learn a lot, it's really good. And one of the things is, I'm not a coffee expert by any stretch of the imagination, but when you make the coffees different ways, or you try different coffee beans, one back to back, like you just make a shot of one and you try one and the other, you can actually really tell the difference between one and the next. And from what I'm gathering, it's a little bit like wine. Like, you know, there's no correct answer as to this is the wine to drink. It's just what you like. And that's probably going to change over time as well. But yeah, it's been great. So it's a really good experiment. That's been my most random purchase lately. Would recommend.
Nice. I also just put in that if you don't want to go full fancy, the other things that have actually been consistent is the traditional one is the AeroPress, which is like a very simple coffee machine. Oh, sorry, yeah, the AeroPress. But I have found that in terms of consistency, it basically like a bit of plastic. You put the coffee beans in, grind it up, and you push it down, and it kind of apply consistent pressure. There's another one about the same price called the Nanopresso. So basically, it's got a little piston, and you keep pumping, and once it hits the certain pressure, it then filters the coffee through. So that one's actually a bit more reliable and compact. So I actually use that at work, and it makes a consistently better coffee.
That too, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. So and they're like, I think the AeroPress is about $50, and the Nanopresso is about $75 or something like that. So much cheaper.
Mm.
But if you want to experiment, really good. Like, cannot recommend
the
it
nice
enough.
Thing is about the but the problem is then you need to get with the, for example, the AeroPress or the other one, you then need to get a separate machine which grinds your coffee beans for you, and if you want to make foamed milk, then you need to get another thing for that. One of the nice things about this is it's all in one, so you got one device.
Like, I mean, this is like the NanoPress, you can put into one of those stalker creepier trench coats if you like. Like, it's not pocketable, but it's kind of there. Like, you can definitely carry it around in your bag. So the difference is you don't need any power. It's just hot water and you're off to go. So this is made more for camping and whatnot, but I actually keep, like, I have one of each at work. So one campus has the AeroPress and the other campus has a NanoPress, and I use them. And I've just got a bag of ground beans in each. So I just use that. In terms of recommendations, the NanoPress is easier if you're going to do something like that, because you don't need any filter paper. So it's got a built-in filter. So it's just easier to clean up and whatnot and just packs it down nicely. A bit fiddlier though. I got to say that I've had two random purchases lately. One's not arrived yet. And the other one was kind of stupid. Like, it's one of those things were on sale, so I bought it.
Purchases are very, very rarely clever purchases.
Well, okay. So, bit of a story. I bought a fountain pen, a pretty expensive one. It's like one of those Mont Blanc fountain pens, right? Now, I'm a fountain pen person, but I've never really been a luxury person. Like, I don't do luxury goods that much. So, I have this Taiwanese, like, it's a white label pen maker that came out with a, someone bought it for me for my birthday. So that's my fountain pen. And I've got a few others that were like Kickstarter projects. Like some were like, you know, $50, $60. This thing's RRP is $1,000 for a pen. Right? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. However, so I have never even considered anything. And don't worry, I'm too brown to pay RRP. Right? So that never happened. Just before I went on leave, right? So one of the surgeons at work, he's also a fountain pen guy. And he was walking around and I was like, oh, you've got two. And he's like, oh, no, this one's a Mont Blanc fountain pen. And I've got the ballpoint pen. And I'm like, okay, why? And he's like, well, most people don't know how to write with a fountain pen. So you can't give it to the patients to sign. And I've seen it with my own. Like they'll hold it upside down. They'll hold it to the side and they like, you know, kind of scrub the nib.
Interesting.
If you've got one of the super fine nibs. And I use a lot of fine nibs. Like mine are like $20, so I don't really care, right? But anyway, he's like, yeah, so I have the ballpoint to give to them to sign the consent, but I use the fountain pen because I just find my handwriting's nicer. And I'll say there is something to nice pen does, like I put in a bit more effort. I don't think it actually does.
I tried anything with a fountain pen. My handwriting just looked like a smudge.
But anyway, I was like, oh, can I try it? And he's like, okay. And then I went to write with him. He's like, no, you can't. Like, it's like, you know, it's like your fountain pen. It's like your lady. It's like, you know, adapted to your hand. I'm like, it's a fountain pen. Like, the hell? Like, it's a fountain
pen. Custom made.
Yeah. So I was just like, I use a fountain pen too. He's like, no. I was like, okay, look, hey, man, it's your thing. And I never really looked into how expensive they were, right? So then I was like, I've never really written with a Mont Blanc. I'm like, how expensive are they? I just want to try it. But I was going to be bothered going to like a boutique store and like not trying to be all fancy about it. And like, I just want to try a pen, you know? Like, so anyway, I Googled it. Of all the, so, you know, I was expecting, I don't know, some fancy store to have these pens. You know, the fast fashion store, the Iconic? Like, it's kind of like the ASOS, the Zara, like, okay. It's like an online thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So that came up with a Mont Blanc fountain pen. I'm like, what? So it turns out they tried to get into it. Clearly not the place to sell them. So it had like a 40-something percent discount on this pen. That's like $1,000. So I'm like, peaked interest, okay? Like, you know. Then I was looking through some like, you know, point hacking credit card stuff. There's another discount code. So, yeah. So fractions of the RRP were paid for said pen. So I now have a very expensive fountain pen. It's a much smoother ride.
You should eBay it, make a profit, and get a ballpoint pen.
Okay. Genuinely, I went into news agent like back in the day, like, you know, buy magazines and whatnot. I was after a photography magazine, actually. And they had this ballpoint pen, this Parker ballpoint pen. And it had like this really fancy box and everything. And back then I liked pens, but you know. And it was like $70. And I'm like, what the hell? Who's paid $70 for a pen? But I was like, it looks really nice. I bought it, right? I've Googled that pen. That pen retails for $700. Yeah, I still have it. And I can sell it right now for $500. Like 10 years later. So it turns out it was some...
understand with pens, like I get that whatever people have something that they like and a luxury version of that, that's fine, no problem with that at all. But I lose pens like at a rate of about 1 to 2 per day, and usually the pen in my pocket is not the same one that I left in the morning with. So I just don't, this is one thing that doesn't make sense.
So I will agree with all of it except for fountain pens, because no one seems to steal them because no one knows what to do with them.
Yeah, but it's not that I'm stealing them. It's I'm stealing other people's pens because I don't know where mine's gone.
If I had a, but there's a pen,
it'd be gone by lunchtime.
So What I've found is if I've given someone my fountain pen, they will chase me down to give it back to me. Because there is, like, I know at work, there's 4 people that use fountain pens, and I'm one of them, and they will come and find me. So I've never, I've lost every other pen. Like, yeah, the expensive ballpoint pens, I would never buy them. But fountain pens, they've never been lost. To date, touch wood, never lost a single one.
Impressive.
Yeah, impressive. And the people, like, so the other guy, James, I think you met James at, like, the VR, like, we went zombie shooting thing on the VR experience thing. Yeah. So he brought out one that he's had since he's an intern. And my very first fountain pen is what I bought myself when I became an intern. And I still have it to this day. It's just there. It's like the Waterman one. So, yeah, neither have been lost. And that's the only
pen I bought as an intern. I guarantee to have lost on my first day as an intern.
But anyway, so that was one. And then I bought an outdated mobile phone. That was my other random purchase.
Did you buy a Nokia?
No.
Oh,
well, I mean, I really in a way, yes.
A Nokia 8250. If somebody can get me a Nokia 8250 that works, I'd love to have one.
You know they re-released the 3210 as like a 3250s, but it's like as a feature phone.
The old, it's like the indestructible brick.
Yeah. So for people who are, you know, young, mobile phones weren't what you expect today. They had physical buttons and no cameras. Yeah, you could only play Snake. Anyway, so Nokia, the new company, it has it's basically got bought out by the old employees, and they re-released the old version but modernized a bit with, so it actually works on 4G, because the old one, the 8250s, aren't going to work.
Yeah, that's probably the chipset. 2G and stuff, yeah.
No, there's actually some projects with, like, Raspberry Pis and stuff to upgrade the modems so that it does work. Like, not Raspberry Pis, but changing the chipset thing.
I'd love to have an 8250 dumb phone. That would be great. All right. Some days we just don't want a smartphone. Just people can text you. That's enough.
There are versions of this, you realize.
I know, I've seen these, like, the deliberate dumb phones, but I specifically want a Nokia 8250. Someone can make that happen. Please reach out.
Okay, you heard it here, folks. He wants a non-functional phone. Not like a phone that turns on. It's like a phone that turns on and cannot connect to the current cell signals because they can't anymore.
Okay, no, it needs to connect to the cell signal. That's the one thing.
They can't. The 8250 actually can't.
Make it work. Our listeners are smart. I can do it.
All right. Well, there we go. Challenge out there. No, I bought... I love the Microsoft Surface product. Like, this is literally why I switched away from Apple. Like, so they made possibly the dumbest product I've ever seen in my life, which is called the Surface Duo, which is like a dual screen phone, kind of like the Samsung ones, but at least that's a phone, right?
Oh, God.
So this thing looks like a diary. And originally, back like 15 years ago, before like tablets became a thing, before the iPad came out, Microsoft was working on a thing called Project Courier, which was like this diary-like device with a pen that you could scribble notes. And I loved it. It's literally...
Logic?
If I could design a device that's just for me, that is the device. Like, that's the sort of stuff I love.
So essentially, what you really want to buy is 2 iPads in a case.
You got to give them credit. 15 years ago, they had the thoughts about a foldable. Like, tablets weren't a thing. And they were onto foldables. Like, you know. So they
bring this iPads thing. In a case. Cool.
Yeah, it's nothing. Like, I mean, like, the first generation of the product was crap. Like, the software was buggy. Everything kind of sucked. And, you know. Microsoft. Well, it was a very beta product. But the other thing about it was, like, it was chunky. It's like, you can't hold it in one hand. Not comfortably, right? So the ad was like them doing all these split screen productivity stuff using one side as a keyboard, right? Right at the end of the ad, and almost like it was a joke, because it runs Android. A phone call comes in and someone picks it up, and the end of the ad is someone holding it up to their head and walking off, and the Windows, like the Microsoft logo comes up, and it's like, you're kidding me. They actually left it as a functional phone, right?
And made that an advertising.
I'm gonna link this in the show notes just so you can see the original ads and just realize how dumb this product is as a phone. But the concept of having this thin kind of just note-taking device that's a touchscreen that I can scribble on, means that this is the first generation one. They've updated to the Surface Duo 2, and they're bringing out the 3, I think. Actually, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be released or announced. But this is the very first generation one, because you never got released in Australia, but on Amazon you can order it, and it's like heavily discounted. Like, and they released it for like $3,000 or something. I was like, yeah, it was like a premium device that was really crap. So no one should buy it, and I don't think anyone did. So I was like, and now it's currently like, I don't know, $300 or something. I'm like, all right, I will pay that for a device that, yeah, well, it was a device that literally is something that they've worked on for 15 years before any of this, like tablets didn't exist, touch phone, like, you know, before they even got into smartphones, they were thinking of this dual screen thing that they wanted to make, and they did it. And I just want to, like, it feels like it's one of their passion projects, and I just want to see if it works even remotely closely. Like, they would have spent a lot of money just getting the form factor and everything else. And even if it just does one note so I can scribble notes, it's like a win for me, right? So I was like, okay, $300 or $400, whatever it is after delivery, that's fine. Like, this product is going to be so bad, but so right just for me.
I can't wait to see how annoyed you get by it.
Yeah, I think I'll be really annoyed considering the reviews have been terrible. And it has like a basically non-functional camera system. But anyway, I genuinely actually can't wait to try it out just to see.
This sounds like content for a future YouTube channel.
Yeah, although...
Hey, that would be a very nice YouTube channel. Completely useless garbage that I bought. I mean, the stuff would be cheap. It'd be interesting. You could talk about how garbagey it is. I mean, it's a niche right there. Like, you know, everybody, all the big tech bloggers are, you know, reviewing all the latest, greatest stuff. But who's reviewing all the garbage? The stuff that came out 10 years ago and didn't work.
I can tell you right now, there are YouTube channels like that.
Of course there is. You should get in on it.
All right. Now, links. I actually do. There's one guy who does, like, knockoff Chinese, like, smartphones. Like, just goes to the market and buys them just to see what they do. Gadget YouTube channel. I'm just making show notes as we go along. Which actually brings me to probably the last question of the day, because now we're getting up to an hour. What's the most random thing that's happened to you lately? And can I begin? Just so that it kind of ties in perfectly. You know how you're saying is like, you know, this random YouTube channel idea, right? So I started doing, like, you know, I bought the Pixel Bud earphone things, right? And they came, I bought it from the official Google store. And they came, like, before they were released officially. So it just came. Okay. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to unbox it and make a quick video. And I posted it up on YouTube. And it actually got, like, 2,000 views or something. Like I'm restarting my channel. Anyway. So then I was like, oh, I'll
review this. Notes below.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I should do that. I think they always do. We always have links to our stuff. But anyway. So whilst I was away on holidays, I saw this thing, like, I'd forgotten that I'd done this. So Samsung have this app called Samsung Members, and it's just like community forums and troubleshooting and stuff like that. And they have like random competitions on there. And I entered a few, and I won one, right? And then I noticed they also had this thing, it's like, oh, be a Samsung maker. I was like, oh yeah, like years ago, before they had anything official, I think I just sent them a thing going, hey, I'm going to Antarctica. And I have free stuff, and they sent me like a 360 cam, and I was like, cool. And they sent it in this box, and it was pretty cool, and then kind of fizzled out. They used a lot of my photos for their Instagram and social media and stuff, but nothing really further happened. So this time there was like an application, so I was like, okay, cool, I just filled it in, and I forgot about it. So whilst I was away, they sent me a contract, an actual influencer contract, right? Like, I am currently, not sarcastically, hashtag sponsored. I have to add that to posts. Like,
this feels like the difference between US medical conferences and Australian medical conferences. Where in the US conference, at the start of, so for context, in any medical conference, you know, when you give a presentation, you're supposed to have a slide of your financial disclosures. So in Australia, people like very sheepishly say, oh, you know, I'm sponsored by this person, or I get, you know, I receive some. Have received consulting fees from this company. Whereas in the US, it seems like the opposite. And it's like, I get paid for these people and these people and these people, and they're super proud of it. It's almost like my achievement list.
Well, no, mine was more just like I did not expect to be a mid-30s medical doctor with kind of like a photography Instagram, and that's about it. Getting
does this mean you
sponsored.
Have clout? Huh? Does this mean you have clout? Does this mean you have clout? Are you an influencer now?
Well, yeah. I actually have to say, hashtag sponsored, hashtag ad or whatever the, like, anyway.
Are you going to get sued like Kim Kardashian?
Well, I mean, Samsung crypto is the best crypto.
hashtag sponsored, don't forget.
Yeah, I'm not really the crypto person, that's your job. yeah, so, but one of the weird clauses is that depending on the product, you can't mention or feature all this list of stuff on, like, I was like, okay, if they're competing. But so, like, you know, part of me is like, oh, man, where should we get the Duo? I do actually want to do an unboxing. But I'm like, it is so shit. Like, as in the first generation product, it's just not a phone trying to be a phone, that it almost looks like a joke. So I was like, huh, I didn't expect said contract. They sent me, like, this welcome kit. It has, like, a T-shirt. And actually, this diary that I keep holding up is one, like, the one that they sent.
Hashtag sponsored.
yeah, hashtag sponsored. And there's, like, a coffee mug and stuff like that. Like, pens and, like, these stickers. Like, you know, like, fine. It was, like, a massive box. So it was, like, nice to come home to and just have this massive surprise box sitting there. I'll let you tell your random thing, and I'll finish off on my most random of events.
Well, mine was actually on the long weekend. I was looking for wineries to go to. Just, you know, it was a bit last minute, so there wasn't a lot available. Completely random one, a little bit outside of Margaret River. Looked like a nice place. Thought I'd go there, and ended up going there and found out that they actually do a lot of vodkas and gin in house. And it's the first winery I've been to down in that region, which does vodkas and gin. Ampersand Estate, if anyone's interested. But
okay. Is this a rarity? Actually, like, I'm clearly not in the drinking wine crowd. Well, so is this rare? Like, or most wineries just wineries?
Most wineries tend to make wine. seems to
and
be
just the, wine. And, like, not
yeah, generally speaking.
Spirits. Okay. Like, yeah. I genuinely don't know. So hence, like...
I gotta say, even if you don't drink, I would recommend wineries. Amazing. Usually you get to sit somewhere with, like, a nice view.
As in, I've been to wineries for the food, but I've never noticed the wines.
Yeah, fair point. But the gin.
Like, I went to one by myself once because I'd heard they have a really good brunch. So I sat down and like, and what do you drink? And I'm like, I don't. And they're like, this awkward silence. I'm like, yeah, I'm Muslim. I just came because the brunch was good. They're like, oh, yeah, we've had a few like that. Here you go. And then favorite was during lockdowns, a lot of the airlines had, like they obviously were grounded and stuff, right? So Qantas, the Australian airline, had all these amenity kits, like the first class amenity kits that they were selling off as part of, like, some promotion. I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted the PJs because the PJs looked comfy. I just wanted to set the first class PJs. So I ended up buying them, but it's actually a pack, like, that's like the bonus additional thing that comes with, like, this 4-pack of wines or something. So you have to go to Qantas Wines and buy the wines. So the wines came, and I don't know, I just gave it up. I actually genuinely don't kind of remember what I did with it. I think I passed them to your parents or some shit. I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, actually, yeah, one bottle I gave to some random surgeon. The others I genuinely don't know. But anyway, so I get these PJs, and I'm wearing the PJs, and I get a phone call one day. And it's like, oh, hey, how you going? You ordered, like, this package from Qantas. I'm like, yeah. It's like, yeah, so we just wanted to know, like, you know, what sort of reds are you drinking? I'm like, I'm not. It's like, but you ordered this box. I'm like, yeah, I did. I just wanted the PJs. They're like, okay. It's like, yeah, look, man, I'm Muslim. I don't drink. I didn't care a single iota about the wines. I just wanted the PJs. And the guy just laughs and hangs up.
You should have asked him if he can send you more PJs. However, is the PJs any good?
Yeah. Now I have three sets, not because I bought them, but because And I gave my one set to my dad, and he's like super happy that he has, like, Qantas first PJs. they're nothing that special or amazing, but I love them. Leave me alone.
I'm quite happy with wearing scrubs. I feel like scrubs are great for pajamas.
Yeah. All right. I'll end with my most random thing. I think I was on the phone to you whilst this was happening. So last week, I never get cash out of the ATM, right? But at the moment, we're doing some little renos and one of the guys doesn't accept credit card. And long story short, I need to get cash out. And it was like $1,000, right? And so I've not taken this amount of cash out in a very long time. And it was about like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh man, I was after a run. I'm like, oh, I need to get it by tomorrow. Might as well do it now since I'm already out. But, you know, I don't, like, it feels awkward carrying like a large wad of cash in your pocket. Anyway, I go get the cash out and I'm walking home and I'm in Melbourne City, right? And I'm maybe 500 meters from home and this guy walks past and he kind of looks a bit drunk and he just swerves and like basically heads butts my shoulder, right? And then stumbles off. And I was like, I was talking to you or someone and I was like, what the? And I take a few more steps and they're like, oh man, is this guy drunk? Is he like, that trajectory puts him in the middle of the road and the right light's about to go green. Like, is he about to get hit by a truck or something, right? So I turn around and no, he's like off into the car. But he turns around, right? And I'm like, okay. And then he just starts like brisk walking towards me. I'm like, what is going on? All right. And I'm like, of all days, does it have to be the day? Like literally the only day that I've gone to the ATM and I have like a wad of cash in my pocket, right? Like I'm like, but he doesn't know that. So I'm like, what do I do? So anyway, he walks right up to me and he's like, you know, wow. I'm like, what? So he lifts up his right hand. It kind of does this cock kind of, you know, get off my lawn pose, right? Stares me in the eye and just goes, rah, rah. And I'm like, huh? What the hell? And clearly he's on drugs or something because he has like blood pouring out of his face. And I'm like, I don't know what else you've headbutted. So I'm like, I'm not really sure what the response here is. Like, I can't really go, hello. Because you just tried to
look, the correct response me. Is you just needed to go, rah, and headbutt him back.
Well, so I actually was like, right, am I meant will. To like go all that shit? But then I'm like, okay. I'm feeling very self-conscious right now with like a wad of cash that's like literally bulging in my pocket. I've never carried this much cash, right? And I'm like, all right, got two responses. I can either try and talk to the guy, but I have no intention to, or I could just like run and see if he chases me, right? So I like went for a quick little jog and I turn around and he's like shrugs and walks back. And I'm like, what? Like, what just happened? This is, you know, like 8, 9 o'clock in Melbourne is... there's still lots of people around. I was like, just imagine, you get headbutted, you turn around to make sure the guy's like not falling off the track, and he comes running up to you going, rah, rah. And that's it.
All I can say is, yep, makes sense. Completely makes sense.
Oh, man, I wish I could tell you some of the stuff that's been happening at work, because, yeah. Anyway.
Have that, people been headbutting you at work as well?
Yeah, I think for privacy reasons and patient stuff, I can't actually disclose it, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, that was my random way to end the episode. Anything else you'd like to add since I've now crossed the 1 hour line?
Well, that feels like a very random way to end the podcast.
Okay. As always, like and subscribe. The next few episodes, we will try to be a bit more regular, so in a fortnight. And the reviews, please, that really helps. And yeah, if you find these interesting, share it with your friends as well. Like, it was actually nice to see when we didn't have episodes coming out, but people were still listening. You could see little spikes on the listens. And that's like, you know, we're a tiny little podcast, not like, you know, I think we're up to, what, 20, 30 regular listeners, maybe a bit more. Actually, a few of the episodes are up to a few hundred. But, yeah, it's, like, just really nice to see. So thank you for sharing and thank you for listening. And until next time, we'll try to keep it more regular. Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye.